Today on Rebook.
I think it should have main evented.
Yeah, it should have made evented. It should have made evented.
We were in Hollywood.
Hurt Syndicate hurts in your mouth and in your hands, which is a little...
could go a couple of ways.
It could.
I don't know how you want to take it.
I don't know if you can put that on a t-shirt and sell it, but I like it.
You know, like your mom disappointed at you because you did something you weren't supposed to? My mom hit me. I have no problem. Welcome back to Rebook, the show where we talk about the men and the women slapping meat in the middle of the ring and the stories they tell in the process, brother. I'm GB, and of course you got Matt and Jake here. And as always, we have a fun show for you. Make sure that if you like this episode, you give us a beautiful thumbs up. You like it wherever you listen or consume the content that we produce for you. Please just go ahead and tell people about it. It'd be absolutely beautiful. In any case, though, fellas, good to see your faces again. Jake, we had a good time at Revolution.
Yeah, you guys did.
Yes, we did.
That was fun.
Yes, we did.
That was fun.
That was a blast.
Yeah, that was crazy. Except for the drunk guys that were behind us. Those guys sucked.
Bro. Oh my God.
They sucked. You know what though? In the end, they self-policed themselves and weren't like too douchey. So I'll go ahead and give them some flowers.
Yeah, just in time for the second to last match to start. They started
very true.
Them,
very true. But that one dude in the crowd, his voice, I felt so bad for his vocal chords. He just talking. Was like,
I didn't. He deserved it.
I really like Will Ospreay. I'm like, oh my God, man. I mean, I know I sound deep and gravelly sometimes, but good Lord, that was too much.
He was hoarse.
Yeah, it was
for
a little,
sure.
A little crazy.
Yeah.
Jake, what else do you think of the show though? Outside of that.
Outside of that, it was, what do you mean? Outside of the show?
Like,
outside of the
yeah, like the experience of going. I haven't gone to like a live show at Crypto in a minute. So that was actually kind of cool. Like it was
the last two things I've seen at Crypto both went very well for me. One, of course, AEW Revolution. And then literally almost a year ago to the day, it was when I went to see Alabama play in the Elite Eight.
That's right.
In March Madness. I saw it at that, at Crypto.
It was the layout. Like, how was it for the court? Was it like, cause I haven't been there for a basketball game.
I mean, there's no seats on the floor or anything pretty much.
Okay.
It's just, yeah, there may be a few, but not really.
Okay.
I haven't been to a basketball game. It was crazy seeing that many people packed in there because I haven't been in there for anything other than hockey. Well, yeah, other than hockey, really. I haven't even seen a basketball game there except for Alabama.
Yeah, no, it was packed, man. It was a good crowd. Filled to the top. Mm-hmm. It was pretty cool. I enjoyed it a lot. Matt, we'll talk more about the show in a little bit, but you know, overall, like the weekend, how you doing, you know, stuff like that.
Well, I mean, while you guys were doing it up at AEW Revolution, I was working.
That's right.
Calling a show where 68-year-old Ricky Morton won a world title. I watched a bunch of Big Brother and the Challenge reality stars try to get involved in wrestling matches all night long and just all kinds of chicanery down in BRCW in South Florida, folks.
Yeah, BRCW. I'm looking it up right now. Oh my God,
did you
that's
just
so good.
Be in here.
It was live streamed on their YouTube.
Did you just
be in here? On March 10th, Ricky Morton won the BRCW world title, a challenge accepted. And also that night, Johnny Fairplay won the
everywhere.
Cruiserweight title. Tucker Pete everywhere.
It was Dale Pede.
Good Lord.
Yes, I'll give you treats. Hold on, my God. I'll be right back. Talk amongst yourselves.
No problem. We do live to tape here at Rebooked. And that's a very important thing. So as Jake goes on and finishes that, I am looking this up because I need information, and information is what I got here. Is that March 10th, Ricky Morton won the BRCW world title. Amazing. Mark Long retained the All-Star Championship. What is the All-Star Championship?
Essentially fake title that they pretty much admitted they just gave it to him because he does a bunch of like reality TV, like in-person events. So they were just like, hey, you're gonna be like our As the owner of the company, it's engraved. There's not a nameplate. They engraved his name permanently on the title. He's like, it was never meant to be defended, but he keeps doing it.
Oh my!
He loves wrestling.
I respect
He's an old friend of the Miz.
Oh yeah, and you know what? Yeah, and honestly, look, I believe it. Okay, that looks like an old friend of the Miz right there.
Yeah,
that's him, right? I'm assuming that's him.
Yep, that is him.
Yeah, from the challenge.
Godfather of reality TV.
Whoa.
Or so he calls himself.
I got to say, I have become a bit of a reality TV aficionado. And I've enjoyed things like The Traitors and stuff like that, and The Circle. It's good. It's good stuff. Listen, reality TV is basically the same as wrestling.
So. I'm hitting my old man stride pretty strong. I'm loving the Game Show Network right now.
Ooh. Oh, man, look at you.
Okay. Yeah, I that's do right. love some Jeopardy, though.
80 and proud. 80 and proud. All right, boys. Well,
take my heartburn medication.
So last week, we had asked our community to come up with some names for the Hurt Syndicate. Company mottos.
We forgot to see if they were selling hats at the show.
Son of a bitch. Because we need to be a part of the business. We need to join. So we got a couple good ones.
Have mouse pads, right?
Tote bags. That was what we were suggesting.
It's just a 4imprint. It's just sponsored by 4imprint.
Where's the stationery? I mean, it's ridiculous. But anyway, so our awesome community, Rebo community, gave us some cool slogans. Slogans for the Hurt Syndicate. So, Jake, do us the honors. What are some of the ones that we like?
All right. So, yeah, let me look at some of these. So, Dresden Nova in our Discord had one. It was Hurt Syndicate. Win, Al, forever. I did like that one.
That's pretty good.
I liked that one a lot. Inhuman Rampager had Hurt Syndicate hurts in your mouth and in your hands, which is a little
could go a couple of ways.
It could.
I don't know how you want to take it.
I don't know if you can put that on a t-shirt and sell it, but I like it.
Oh my, what the? Okay, you got another one?
Gotta hurt them all. That was a good one. Inhuman Rampager had a couple that were really good. But I think my favorite one is Lando Sully, who had the Hurt Syndicate, often imitated, never syndicated. I love that one. I really love that one. That one was great. Yeah, we had several. Mr. Smith, though, 693, did a Folgers jingle.
That was actually, that one was so good.
Yeah,
CG and there are, by the way,
did a whole intro to a video you should watch about
corporate training video.
HR, yeah. Hurtful Resources, they called it. Yeah. I love it.
We had some good ones.
There are Hurt Syndicate hats for sale on Shopee.
Axel Explode, Don't Get Mad, Get Hurt. That one's a good one, too.
We like got to get the hats. That's what we're going to do. We need to join the business. I think we provide value to the company. And went to the shareholders.
We'll start in the mailroom.
But one way or another, we're providing value to the shareholders for sure.
We'll all share one salary.
Yeah. What, you know, right?
Yeah.
Why not? I guess so. You know, the negotiations are going to be crazy, but we'll make it through. All right. Well, look, guys, if you want to
join, sell the hats. They are $35. Jesus Christ.
This economy.
You know, I'll just make it like I made my shirt and I'll just, you know, I just had to wear my Death Rider shirt today.
Yeah. He showed up in a white shirt and just wrote Death Riders and it looked just it's like the same shirt.
And it looks the same.
It's the exact same thing.
It's the exact same shirt. I mean, it's
look at that.
So funny.
Save myself $30. It costs $30.
And people bought it. People were in. I saw people in white shirts. Like
my health insurance isn't even $30. Like what? Like.
You should not have check out your health insurance.
I should look into that. You're right.
Enough of the yapping because we had some stuff go down this week. AEW Revolution was a wild show.
Banger,
both good and bad. A lot of people got, you know, different perspectives on it, different opinions. But we're just going to start from the top. Jake, you were there. You watched it live and in person. What did you think of it?
I thought it was an awesome show. I thought it was a really, really good show, top to bottom. Yes, there were some, there's some dips and valleys, I think. And we'll discuss those here shortly. But, you know, every roller coaster has its downs, but it's those ups that you live for, right? To then go down. I don't know. It's not a great analogy. The point is, it was awesome.
Yeah,
it was a really, really good show. I think it could have been better. Organized is not the word I'm looking for, but I think if you switched a couple of
curated,
sure, I'll say curated. Yeah. I like that. Yeah, I think if the match order had been better curated, I think we would have been speaking even more highly of it, which is saying a lot because still, and I even thinking about it from over the weekend, you know, we talked about it on our Instagram live post that we did, which those were a lot of fun. I hope everybody enjoyed those. But
that was super fun to do.
I stand by my A-minus grade on it. Mm. And I think it was I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. Matt, what about you? What did you think?
I obviously caught up on it later, but watching it back from the TV audience at home, I thought a lot of the matches, the thing that kept going in my head is like a lot of these matches in a vacuum were like all-star, were fantastic. Mm-hmm. And to Jake's point, I think it was just like, there were a few that I wish, mainly one that I wish, oddly enough, wasn't on this card or wasn't done the way it was done on this card. We'll get to that when we start going match by match, even though it was amazing. I still think it was too long for unless this is your Mania level show, five plus hours is a lot. And then they crammed a lot on that 0 hour, which is like, you should have one or two matches on that pre-show.
And including 0 hours, 12 matches.
That's
a lot.
A lot. But, that's, you know, I am going to say this much, though. Bang for your buck, though. You know, you're getting good value.
That is the worst analogy.
Really?
I hate that analogy.
In this economy.
This isn't a box of chicken wings from Costco. Where you just need more because you'll eat more later. It's like, this is about the best value in that time. You can totally overload and kill an audience, and like, more is not more in wrestling. It's just not. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
For some people, but very few, it might be.
But to be fair, the cost of this pay-per-view is probably the same as a carton of eggs, and you got the same amount of matches.
I mean, that is so. That is true.
I don't know. Not wrong there. Not wrong there.
I wonder though, if that's why they do it, because if you think about it, WWE, people don't pay for pay-per-views. They watch it on Peacock. It's on the cock for free. Just go watch it there. But they, you know, everybody else is watching AEW. They gotta pay for the pay. It's a little pay per view. It's not a premium live event. So I wonder if that's the reason why. If they feel like, we gotta cram this, but it is a lot. And even for being in attendance, it is a lot too. Where I was like, I kind of was looking down. I was like, Jesus Christ, we still
have two matches left.
We have like 3-4 matches left. Yeah,
yeah. And so I would definitely say that in that regard, you're right, Matt. I do agree with you. I think that AEW has a problem of bountiful riches when it comes to their talent. And as a result of that, they're able to, you know, cram these cards the way that they are and have so many high tier matches. But there is a point where even when you put on some of the greatest matches, which I would argue they did, sometimes, you know, too much is too much, right? Sometimes you're kind of dipping into the pot a little too much. Like, because, you know, like, for example, right? Like, there were 3 blood feud matches on this card, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. Which isn't bad, because they were all good matches. It was just the fact that
really there was like four or five.
For sure. Yeah. But we're not talking with belts, though. We're not talking with belts because I consider a blood feud like two guys who have fought each other multiple times now. And it's not a belt on the line in this instance. That's how I'm kind of considering it, whether that's right or wrong, you know, free all to decide. But I guess the point I'm trying to make is like those three matches alone had
five if you count Big Boom AJ.
It's true. That's true. He had a bone to pick with Johnny TV. He had a big bone to pick with him. I think that is definitely like a part of the overload, without a doubt. I think that there is an argument to be made that you do get bang for your buck, but there is also a very reasonable and even more logical argument that you're making, Matt, about, you know, sometimes you don't want to do that because then you can overload your audience, and then your audience becomes, it's kind of like what was happening with WrestleMania, where they were doing so many matches and then they'll get down to like the main event and everyone's like tapped out. Now that's two nights. So now they'll do that. They'll have that problem two times now. We'll see.
But I think AEW, as much as they love themed shows, I think they could do on Dynamite, they could do a AEW Fallout.
Yeah.
And it's like the stuff that we didn't get there that still is important and can kind of do a two night thing, but put some of it on TV for free. I don't think it's a terrible idea.
Yeah. No, I think that I was highly entertained. I loved so many of the matches on the card. I gave it an A because I genuinely did enjoy it. But I am also a sicko. You know, like I recognize that I am a sicko. Like you sometimes just got to come to the reality of it. And I just enjoy the thing that AEW puts together. But I understand that not a lot of people but other people might have different takes on it. So, yeah, want to know what you guys think. Let us know in the comments down below. What's your letter grade for AEW Revolution? We'd love to hear from you. And then, you know, we'll see what are some good ones. And also, if you're watching and you're a regular in our Discord, let us know in the episode spoilers chat as well what you think the letter grade was for AEW Revolution. We could talk about that next week, just as like a little thing before we get stuff started. But let's actually go through things real quick, match by match, and break it down, because there were some excellent matches, excellent moments across the board. And I ended up closing my monitor window there, so I lost you guys for a sec. So let's go in and dive into some of the matches a little quicker than others, kind of like what we did for the prediction show. Don't want to spend too much time on it. For example, like Mercedes Moné versus Momo Watanabe. Like, again, it was literally the thing that we didn't want to have happen. But she won the match, and then it was over, and then that was it. But it was a good match.
But it was a great match.
It was a good match. Again, you cannot argue.
That was all it was meant to be. It was a good match. Somebody she's always wanted to wrestle.
Yeah.
They did it. They did a good thing.
But when is something going to actually happen?
Move on.
Yeah, like if we're still doing this post revolution, then I got to start being like, bro, come on, like poke the bear, do something. You know, I don't know. That was frustrating.
I'm close to calling time of death on her title reign.
Right? Yeah,
but not yet.
Where do we?
But I'm close.
What do we think? Something happens maybe with Mercedes.
She needs a big name.
Should she go after Toni Storm?
Or Mariah May needs to go after her.
Mm.
Like so.
Or I feel like this won't happen because it's too much. Just I don't know. Wrestlers are weird. This might be too much of an ego hit. She's collecting belts. Some of them are just, you know, independent federations that you're not going to see get lost or change on TV. But I think she should go through a falling arc.
Yeah.
And I think she should come in one day with three now.
Yeah.
And somebody can make one little, you know, they are teasing. Somebody put it out in our Discord with Billy Starks or Billy. With Athena. She's been kind of showing up, talking to Mercedes, and there's maybe a little bit of a tease that's going to happen eventually, which that would be badass.
That needs to happen because Athena's like the most legit.
What else can she
freaking do? She's held the belt to the point where it's been a detriment, you know. So now it's just like you gotta she needs something more.
But I think it would be cool to have Mercedes. She comes in, now she's got three. Somebody, Billy Starks, can say a little backhanded comment. Whatever. Things happen. You guys didn't even see it. Next week comes in with two. Yeah. You know, then they work with New Japan, maybe at Forbidden Door. She loses the new Strong Women's Championship. She is now clinging to her TBS title like death. And then All In or All Out at the end of the summer, Athena comes in hot out of the track here and takes it from her in her it wouldn't be her AEW debut, but like her official joining not Ring of Honor, AEW Dynamite roster kind of thing. And then Mercedes flips out and has a total like gear change.
Yeah. And then Athena can do like open challenge stuff where like you can get that belt on TV often. You can have there's a variety of directions you can go with an Athena title reign.
Camille, is she ever coming back?
I don't know. Yeah. That one's out there.
Because that one seems like an obvious one to me too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we'll of course see what happens and keep eyes on that. And see where the chips fall there. We can get into one of our initial blood feud matches. MJF Hangman at Hangman picked up the W on that one. Gotta say, this one was incredible. What a way to open up the pay-per-view. But also
good starter.
The story that these guys are telling right now, it is so captivating. I swear if I hear someone say AEW doesn't have stories, I will slap them in the mouth. Just like in bottom lip, you know, just like that, like really like, you know, but like real sharp, you know, like your mom disappointed at you because you did something you weren't supposed to. My mom hit me. I have no problem being honest about that. You know, like it's a common thing with Hispanic households. You should know that, Matt, you're married to a Hispanic. But in any case, though, like it's.
Man, if you need someone to talk to.
No, but real talk, like the story they're telling is just incredible. Hangman desperate, wanting to reach the top. MJF mad that the world is against him. So good. Jake, what did you make of this one?
Man, I mean, like you said it, it's MJF wants so desperately to be loved, and maybe not loved, but adored. And I don't think that he necessarily wants to 100% admit that, but like he craves that. That's what gets him going. It's people like the character of MJF, of they just want a reaction out of you, right? Yeah. And MJF now is tired of getting this negative reaction and realizes, hey, that time where I was kind of doing not shitty things to people really liked me. But that's not who I am. Why can't you?
Yeah,
you cheered me then. Why can't you cheer me now? I think it's a lot of fun, and it's making for interesting character work from both he and Hangman. And I'm really excited to see where this one goes from here, because
especially
I don't know that they're done with each other quite yet. Yeah. But if they are, I think it's coming back around at some point.
Especially considering that Hangman's character, Matt, has changed. And yet people still cheer for him. So MJF can't be this nebulous person. It's a fascinating angle. Do you think that there's more, like Jake said, do you think there's more meat on the bone?
I hope so. Like, I mean, there is, it's there. Whether they decide to, you know, slice it is up to management. Right. I hope that they do. I think there's plenty more there. And even just on, it works on every level, because that story that Jake and you guys are talking about is great from their characters, even just on a like surface level, like, because sometimes that's what draws people in, is just that. How does this look on a poster? How does this look as like the 30-second look at something? And this is a classic almost. You have posh MJF who thinks he's better than everyone else. He's got a Burberry looking scarf. He's the kid from New York. Or whatever and everything. And then you've got the cowboy. Like, just even
you got a guy from a Wrangler jeans commercial.
Yeah, even that basic level, which is good. It goes so much deeper, which we like. I don't like it when it's just that level, but the fact that it even has that, just that nice dichotomy, that opposite.
The fact that it's simple yet also complex.
Yes.
Makes the story
all the levels.
Yeah, it hits all the levels, which I think is a great opportunity for us to transition to our other Blood Feud match that was freaking entertaining as hell. Swerve Strickland and Ricochet for the number one contender spot, because this is a like newer thing. This is one of AEW's newer stories that they are telling here. Because Ricochet just coming in, leaving WWE, coming over here. But the story of Ricochet, because to me, there were two things happening in this matchup, right? Obviously, there was a converging storyline between Swerve and Ricochet to get Prince Nana's robe back, right? But there was also the Ricochet storyline that he's going through right now, right? The finding himself, understanding what Ricochet, who Ricochet is in AEW. Is he an asshole? Is he cocky, egotistical, all this stuff. And then there's Swerve, who's like hell bent on getting gold again, which is so like now that they've like clashed there, it seems as if they're poised for a breakup. But Matt, something tells me that Ricochet is still going to continue to be a thorn in Swerve's side. And I don't know why I get that vibe. Is that the vibe you got? Or did you feel like the ending of this one definitively closed out Ricochet and Swerve, and Jake as well, if you want to jump in after Matt?
I mean, I don't, it could. So where I'm looking ahead though, is we have a new number one contender in Swerve Strickland. And we also, not to jump ahead, but we also got a result that none of us really wanted or expected out of the main event with that world title. So presume we're going to Mox and Swerve, which will be a banger of a match. I'm going to assume it's going to be Dynasty. And yeah, given that even in this big moment, again, not to jump ahead, we didn't pull the trigger on a new champion. I'm getting the feeling we're not going to be doing that at Dynasty either. So which makes me think it's not going to be Swerve at this time. And how could you do that? Maybe Ricochet is still causing him trouble. I do think there could be a little bit. I don't think there's as much here as with Hanger and MJF, but there's more that they could do. And I think they're going to need a reason that Swerve doesn't beat Mox potentially in the back pocket. And that could be, that could play into it.
Yeah. Yeah. Jake, what about you? What do you think?
Everybody has that younger sibling or younger cousin who is just a dick, who is just an annoying, pestering little prick.
Yeah.
And so you know that people like that don't think in wins and losses. They think in pain and annoyance and frustration. That's their metric for how successful they are at getting at you.
Yeah.
That's Ricochet. Ricochet in his current form is not going to let that lie. I just don't see him letting that lie. I mean, they just took his brand new beautiful robe.
Yeah.
And he gave it to Nana. Like that alone, Ricochet is not going to be able to handle. No, I don't think this is over. And I think the more that Ricochet can do to get under his skin is going to get under the crowd skin, and he needs more of that. Mm. Just keep needling Swerve.
It's been a minute.
It has been.
Or do you need the graphic? Do we need the graphic?
Yes. Put out the graphic.
Fantasy booking.
Right. I'll try to make this is very fantasy. Again, it's not sure it's something I see them doing, but I think it could be very, very cool. You and Jake, as you often do, your intro into that inspired me. So what happened? How did Swerve become Swerve? How did it become his house in AEW? Truly, when did that happen? When did he become the Swerve he is today?
He went
as
after
a result of.
Go for it. Oh
no!
He went after an AEW original.
And did what?
And burned his house,
destroyed
down.
Him, and yeah. harassed him, and nearly killed him.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Hangman Adam Page was the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
But it brought him up a level. And then he won that over with his continued work that whole time, came from a place where he wasn't appreciated. Unfortunately, we have to acknowledge that reality in today's wrestling environment as part of our stories. Reestablished himself, did some of the worst things you can do to another, you know, wrestler while working in a wrestling company. And his star rose. I'm saying maybe Ricochet thinks that's a pretty good model to copy. Coming from a place that didn't appreciate all that he could do, and now sees the same guy, that exact guy, and says, you know what? I'll make an example out of you. And maybe that's where my star will rise. It worked for you, you six SOB.
Yeah, and yeah.
Maybe he screws my Swerve out of the title. And then they roll on to, again, I keep, because the next huge show is All In. And we still have Double or Nothing and so on. Still quite a while. But maybe it builds, maybe there's a blood match there. That's a cage match. That's a false count anywhere. Last man standing, whatever. Get to us to a gimmick match, head, cage, whatever it is, with yeah. Swerve and Ricochet. Maybe that's Double or Nothing. I don't know. But like, I think that's where you could see Ricochet turn up the violence. In an attempt to say, I'm going to establish my star here too, by any means necessary, just like you did.
Mm. Yeah, you gave us the blueprint.
Yeah.
You gave us the blueprint, so I'm just going to follow it.
Yeah.
And you can blame yourself for this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's actually pretty sick. I actually would like to add to that. I would like it if, rather than him go back to Swerve, he tries to identify a target that he thinks would be easier. And then he'll go after like a Daniel Garcia or something like that to get himself.
Maybe
gold.
He burns Nana's coffee,
or he burns Nana's coffee, which is always on the card. Ooh,
it's a little bitter.
Yeah.
Damn.
Always in the cards there. Yeah.
I didn't have a house to burn, so I'm going to burn the
burned his beans.
Definitely yeah. interested in that. Definitely interested in Nana burning, or sorry, burning Nana's coffee.
That sounds like a Southern saying, that I, but it's not. I'm gonna burn your beans, boy.
I'm gonna burn your beans.
Well, you know what? That's a new saying now.
I'm gonna start saying that. Boy, that really burns my beans.
You gotta say that. You gotta do it. That's so good. Yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead and move through a couple of these faster, so we can spend more time in the main event. Hurt Syndicate Outrunners, the result we knew was going to happen definitively. But I will comment. And Jake, you know, feel free to add to this as well. These boys were over.
They are over.
They were. Oh, I mean, look, I don't know if it was the LA crowd, but sometimes we got
LA likes little, certain people.
We like to get a little ratchet up in this some bitch, you know what I'm saying? But like, they were over. People,
yeah.
Like the moment the music hit, everyone was saying like, "We hurt people." Hurt like people. It was so good. But also the Outrunners were incredibly over as well. But everyone also knew, and they saw the writing on the wall.
But it was a fun match. Everybody knew how it was going to go. And what was great is Outrunners still got their stuff in.
They really did.
They still got their stuff in. And it's just a story of Hurt, you know, Hurt Syndicate overlooking competitors.
This was one of the loudest moments of the night, where he was like,
you son of a bitch,
and then like the whole crowd like lost the whole crowd. That was great. That was a really fun moment. Of course, moving forward, we'll just kind of skirt through these things quickly. Brody King, Okada, beautiful matchup, but it was the result we thought was going to happen. But what was really cool, though, and I didn't realize it with this one, was Brody King is from Van Nuys. So that
I didn't know that either.
We definitely were like, oh, OK, that definitely makes sense why this match happened. So the crowd was definitely cheering for the Cali boy. But unfortunately, Okada wins. All right, they got to do something. Something's got to happen. Well, you know what? Something's got to happen. And that actually is a perfect opportunity for us to go to our first big moment of the night, which was the title change. Kenny Omega is the new AEW International Champion after defeating Takeshita in another. Like, what I loved about this show, Matt, was you got so many flavors of kinds of matchups. You got this very straightforward and I would say classic New Japan style match. Just if you love New Japan Pro Wrestling, this matchup was like it. you know. But then on the up flip side with Cope and Mox, you got a very WWE style matchup, a lot of holds and story and stuff like that. But to focus on this matchup, though, and by the way, I'm not saying both are, one is better than the other, but this matchup just lived up to exactly what it was, which, right, Matt, is that like a fair assessment in your opinion?
Yes. Yeah. Great. Hard hitting athletic match. You like strong. It's a really good, you like Japanese style wrestling. This is something that would have taken place in the Tokyo Dome. This would have been, is that, it just, it's that feel, that strong style. That,
but because
that,
it didn't. 4.75.
That's true. It's trash. We send it back. I will say, though, I like this concept, and I wish that they would stick with it, of like the, you know, because like each mid-card title kind of defines certain things, right? And X Division, right? Like the X Division title, it defined like the up and comer at one point, but then it was also the high flyer. But then it was also like, it had so many different definitions, right? But it was always like, you knew that it was the person that was the next up, you know, that they were like, they were there. They were like the, they were going to become the guy, or maybe they were on that pathway. And the Intercontinental title is definitely that belt. But I would like the International title to just be like the New Japan title, where like everyone that fights for this belt literally fights in this style. It's like all this New Japan strong style, very like, you know, doing your charge ups, your, you know, your fighting spirit shit, you know, like I would love that. It was just a belt that was like, if you fight this style, you have to fight. So you see Danny Garcia doing kick flips and stuff like that. Just like wild things. I don't know. Am I off the goop?
Yes, but you like what you like. That's what, to your point. You like what
this
you
belt
like.
Is that I, belt though right now. It does feel like it's just the New Japan because of Will Ospreay and Takeshita.
True.
Yeah,
true. And like, maybe there's a lot of people who will wrestle that. So I think it's weird if like I'm somebody who, you know, doesn't it feels weird for wrestling. Did you just change your style just to fight for a title?
About himself, like, in this situation, he's like, can I? Yeah, no, I can't do that.
I can't do anything. But like, yeah, that would feel weird to like, oh, all of a sudden this person who's wrestled like this for 6 years just decides to wrestle differently because this is the title and they have to work that way. I don't like that, but I get what you're saying. That vibe, maybe it just represents that, you know, that kind of legacy or that kind of aura. But it does aura,
feel like that's what the belt is right now, for sure, just because of the guys who've held it. Since Moxley dropped it, it's been pretty much high flyers.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you had Roddy in there.
Oh, really, Roddy. I guess Roddy. Roddy's the exception. Roddy's the exception. Oh, sure.
Two, right?
I mean, Orange Cassidy, though, I mean, yes, but also no. It's weird because he can do all the same stuff that, like, Kenny, not entirely, obviously, like that Will Ospreay, because Will Ospreay just a standing corkscrew moonsault. It's like, it's freaking nothing. And that's just absurd. That's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How is a human can do that? But anyway, Kenny Omega wins the belt. Does this lead to the thing that was teased when Okada won the Continental Classic,
which was
Kenny versus Okada? Now, do you hope so because you think it's going to be great, or just because we want to finally?
I want to get rid of the belt.
Okay. But why can't it be both?
Okay, yeah, I'm sure it'll be
great.
Yeah.
Why can't it be awesome and it do us all a favor and get rid of a useless title?
Exactly. Two birds, one mother flipping strong style stone.
And for new viewers and listeners, we want to be clear. See, here at Rebooked, we believe that the Continental Championship just shouldn't exist and it needs to be merged. It was cool in the beginning, but now it's not. And we need to merge it with the international title, making it the International Continental
Championship.
The International Continental
International.
International. Look, the International.
International.
The International title is the prettier belt, but the Continental title has the cooler concept with the tournament. I do like the Continental Classic.
Yeah.
I do love AEW's G1. I think it's a cool idea. So let's just call it like the International Classic, because I just think the International is a cooler belt. I think it is a better belt design. I think it looks better. I think it sounds better.
Well, maybe it's the loser belt gets retired. You know, maybe that's what they end up doing.
That could be cool.
But I just, I want them to keep that Continental Classic in the winter every year and just maybe rename it. I think
they will. Yeah.
I hope so, because I'd like that. And maybe, again, maybe that is the winner gets a shot at the end. Yeah,
I
mean, look,
I just say you just call it the AEW Classic end of the year, right? You don't gotta like go crazy with the branding. You just call it the AEW. Hey, you remember the Continental Classic from years past? Well, it's now the AEW Classic, and the winner will get an opportunity to fight Kenny Omega or whoever holds the belt for the international or for the unified international championship or whatever they decide to call it, right?
Yeah.
To keep the spirit of the Continental Championship and the Continental Classic alive. Like, you do that and then you're good. You've basically cleared your bases, and now you have your international title as your de facto number two title. You have your TV title that is great for all the up and comers that are like making their way through the system. And that also can rest on Collision because you have 2 hours of great or 4 hours of great TV. Just do it. Come on, guys. Just do it. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be sick. Moving to the next blood feud that was, also kind of circling the international championship was Will Ospreay versus Kyle Fletcher. This, Matt, was a great one. How was it watching it like at home? Because in the arena, holy crap. It was awesome.
These two are incredible. The match, this is my biggest example, and people will strongly disagree. In a vacuum, this match was incredible. I don't think it belonged on this show.
Yeah.
Considering some of the other events that happened prior to this, at least the way it was done, I do think Blood was fine. I'm not one of those people who are like, they can't do Blood. No, Blood was great. I did think the thumbtacks, the barbed wire bat was a bit excessive. I think you could have just kept it a little bit more like just raw two men, fists, cage, and blood, like, and not had all this outside shit, because that's kind of defeats the purpose of a cage.
It did feel like he wanted to give an homage to Cactus Jack, and that was like the whole point of this. That was kind of the vibe I got. Well,
you mean our 24/7 champion, Travis. Is that who you're talking about?
No.
This calls back though. That was just me. But if you wanted to do all the cactus stuff and everything, great. That's this match. I feel like they could have done something in the meantime, because I think you could have gotten more out of Kyle and Will in the lead up, and you could have had this match maybe at Dynasty. Mm. I think maybe they could have done something with the Kenny match or whatever, blah, 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 extend their feud. And then on a show where there's not two people punching each other with glass and bleeding all over the stage two matches earlier, then you can do the match with wrenches and barbed wire and thumbtacks and everything like that. I'm not a fan of, because then now neither one of them get to stand on their own in a way. They're drowning in a card full of this stuff.
Yeah.
So there was a little bit of my example. I would have loved to have this been on a pay-per-view where it stands out as the nasty, bloody fight instead of being one of two on a loaded card. So again, the match
is
great.
A good assessment. That is a great breakdown, honestly. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I kind of think that, and I think GB, you and I talked about this coming out of the show, is I feel like AEW sometimes tends to over rely on blood.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that they need to do it like as little as WWE does it, but WWE is learning that, like, or not learning. I mean, and they knew the whole time that can help sell the story, but I feel like it happens in AEW so much. And I agree that there needed to be some kind of juxtaposition between this match and the Hollywood ending match because it felt like a little samey, a little rehashed. And then also we had outside interference in a cage match, which didn't make sense. And then he's also bleeding out of nowhere all of a sudden. Beth was the only one who didn't get any color.
Yeah. I think I will be honest. That looked more like an accident than anything else, because
I feel like it had to.
Because that there's no way someone would be like, yeah, and then, you know, Davies comes out and he takes some blood. Like, there's just no way that they would have that had to have been like he hit the thing. And because I was looking at it, I was like, why would he be bleeding? That doesn't make any iota of sense. Yeah, you're not wrong, which I guess, you know, in the interest of time, and that is a good breakdown of it, kind of brings us to, you know, the Hollywood ending matchup, which I think kind of ties the conversation together here of like, this matchup deserved more time. And you could have,
I'll go a step further.
You could have taken the Ospreay match out. I think you could have just done a tag match with the Murder Machines, Will, FTR, and Kyle, and just kept the Don Callis bullshit going for a little bit. Give Murder Machines maybe a win. Then that would have looked good. And then that way you're fine. Because the reality is you just had so many great matches in the card. Like, you could have, realistically, you could have taken Hangman and MJF and put them in a cage. And I think that would have been fine. But anyway, go on, Jake.
I had the idea of just like, for the international title match, you could, again, because I think there's a lot of meat on the bone for Kyle and Will that you could stretch it out and it could get even more intense and build up to a cage like a month later. They could have been like, you could have done a thing with, because of the Don Callis family, Will is in Kenny Omega's corner for the title match. Kyle is in, with Don Callis, is in Takeshita's corner. They're out there like almost like enforcers, making sure shit.
Well, that's what we thought would happen.
Yeah.
And then stuff does break down. They fight out of the arena. Their feud builds even more intense. Title change happens, and then the next month you get the culmination of Will and Kyle. That was kind of what I was thinking you could do in it, like a non-match scenario to embroil their feud a little bit more. And then they could have gotten their own bloody spotlight on a different show. Yeah.
And what were you going to say, Jake, on your point as well?
Well, it depends on if we were going to talk about that match next.
Let's
let's do that. Yeah, for sure.
I think it should have main evented.
Yeah, it should have main evented.
You were in Hollywood.
I think
it was world title match.
It's a world title match in Hollywood. Ending. This is the biggest feud that they've had.
Yeah.
In especially a long knowing time.
What you were going to do with the Mox match, the kind of ending.
Yeah.
Do that in the middle of the show.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I would have been more okay if Mox and opened the show. And I think, though, that is an AEW booking thing. I could be wrong. I could be misspeaking, but I don't think AEW likes putting the belt, the world championship, in any place other than the last match on the card, which is a traditional thing. And I can respect it. But I think that when you have at this point,
then you're devaluing the women's title.
At this point,
which has been the better feud,
you have established, women have established that they are telling better stories than the men need to catch up to the women, plain and simple, in AEW and narratively speaking, and even in the ring as well, in some respects, because there's some, like, I mean, you talk about progression. Queen Aminata's journey has been absolutely amazing to follow, her development from Ring of Honor to like now. Like, they're kicking ass over there, the women in AEW. So it is very disappointing that they didn't close out the Hollywood ending in Hollywood with Tony Storm and Ryan May. It wrote itself, but they didn't. That being said, though, the match was awesome. It tied everything together. We got the shoe. We got Luther. Everything was just exactly as you would want it to be for these two. The only thing was, and am I wrong in this? It just felt like it was rushed a little bit. Like, they kind of hurried the ending a bit, that it just felt like it was like, oh, she hit the Storm Zero over. And I don't know, like that part kind of threw me off, but I also wasn't disappointed.
It was only a 13 minute match. It was only 13 minutes. 12 minutes and 55 seconds. That's what? How long.
Okay.
Match
so
was.
Yeah. So it was short,
but that's because the three matches after it were all 26 minutes plus.
That's crazy.
Next match, Kenny Omega was 28:30. Will Ospreay was 29 minutes, and the main event was 26:35.
That's that. See, That's frustrating.
I think you could have shaved 20 minutes off the main event and given it to Tony Storm.
Yeah, honestly, you could have.
You could have shaved. You could like.
You could realistically shave 5 minutes off of each of those matchups, and you would have been. Yes. And you could have given that to Tony Storm and Ryan.
And they would have been on. They would have been the same amount of awesome.
Yeah, in the main event spot. That disappointing, but you know what though?
Unless they were like, they're bleeding too much, and we need to get them
that.
Go now home.
That is the only reason why I think it could have ended shorter. If we want to give them some, like at least a little bit of a reprieve, it's Toni Storm was leaking. She was just gushing blood. So maybe they felt like it could have been a safety hazard and they needed to end it early because
that's the case.
But I can also see Toni Storm being pissed off if that's why it was like her going in the back. Toni Khan, you twat. I bleed once a month. I don't need to pull me out for bleeding from my face.
She ain't wrong. She ain't wrong. So I don't know. Yeah. But
it was so good. It was such a good match. When they did the fucking blood sport tape
and put the
thing and dipping it in the glass, that was I've never seen that in a wrestling match. I don't recall seeing that.
And then that's been done. That was an old they did that in ECW.
I've seen this spot before, but I've never seen it with two blonde ladies in the middle of the ring.
Taipei death match at the Axelony and Rotten in ECW.
Okay, yeah. It was Bloodsport, the movie Bloodsport, where they did they made fun of it in Hot Shots, the movie Hot Shots.
Yeah.
Where instead he dipped it in hot fudge and then he had like an ice cream topping bar.
Yeah. Let's talk about that main event. How.
What do you want to talk about?
Well, boys, I'm going to start because I know that people are going to disagree and it's fine and that's okay. I thought how crazy the ending was actually was pretty awesome and had the potential. They missed some areas for sure, but I did not. I'm actually shocked. I was shocked with the result. I like the fact that I was surprised with the result in a night where a lot of the results felt a little bit too obvious. It was nice to be surprised by the end result. I did not think Moxley was leaving there as champion. I was really shocked because it had this weird vibe to it. But you want to know what it felt like to me? When I went to WrestleMania 39, and Cody lost and everyone left that building, bro. People were pissed. They were pissed. I was pissed. I felt robbed. I was like, bro, I want to see my boy win this title. That is fucking bullshit. I got to deal with Roman longer. This is insane. And then it led to the best year of WWE. And then we got WrestleMania 40. And so I'm going to be on the side of, hey, I want to see what happens here. Because if you know that the conversation has been wrap it up, and they chose not to. So maybe, just maybe, they have a story that they want to tell, and I want to see them land a plane. And if they don't land a plane, then we look back and we're like, hey, Alex, you were an idiot. But outside of that, that's my read on it. What do you guys think?
Wrong. Go ahead.
No, it's tough. The match itself, I do have to agree, was kind of, and don't get me wrong, I learned the WWE way. I like a little bit more of a pace match. I like working holds. I'm a huge fan of that. I wish there was more of that, but it did feel, even for that style, a little slow at points, plodding. I love him. He's one of my favorites of all time. He felt like he was half a step behind. Just a little bit. And like, I don't know if it could have been for any number of reasons. I don't want to go right to the surgery he had and everything like that. Just a little bit. I'm not saying he like sucked. No.
Yeah.
Just like half a beat behind where he should have been for this kind of match. So that is what it is. So like that was just too bad. But the big thing is that ending. I can see what you mean about the like I'm trying to think of like, but the Death Riders don't have the cachet. I don't want to keep bringing it up that like the Bloodline did. That's the only that's the difference. But I mean, we will be clamoring for whoever it is to take that title off him.
And I'm definitely feeling it's more of a Mox thing than a Death Riders thing. I that's where I want the story to go. I want the story to go more in a Mox being desperate to hold on to this belt because he feels like he's the only man who can set the course right for AEW. But then everyone else around him is like, dude, no, you don't. Like the CM Punks of the world, you know, not to like disparage or anything, but like, you know, because that's really where it all came, right? Let's not forget Moxley won the belt off of Bryanson, okay? And he won the belt off of Bryanson, and it was Bryanson's last match. He was retired. It was like a shocker moment. It was not like this Hollywood ending like Sting had in his retirement matchup.
And we all hated that too.
And we all hated it. But the thing is that like hate's an emotion. It doesn't, you want to invoke an emotion for the audience, for the viewer. And confusion and anger definitely is a great emotion to invoke. Now you got to pay it off. Right. And that's where you can have this argument of like, hasn't been going on too long, but you can also make the same fucking case for the Bloodline. And it worked out beautifully. So it's like, I don't want to be like, oh, this is bad because I got to see where it ends up. So that's hard for me. But we're getting a timeout on the play here.
I'm tagging in. You cannot compare this to the Bloodline.
Fair.
Because the Bloodline lasted, that story lasted what, 4 years?
Yeah.
4 years.
Long time.
And it was kind of a, it wasn't a like, we're legitimate. I never felt it was a, we're legitimately tired of Roman Reigns. It was a, oh my God, who's going to beat this guy? And he's going to, I always felt that that hate, quote unquote, was more like the audience giving in to kayfabe a little bit, right? Of like, oh my God, I want him to like, so invested in that you want him to lose.
That was
this
vibe,
has
though.
Been 6 fucking months and we're tired of it.
Yeah.
It's been 6 months and we're done. We're tired. Tony Khan, I'm begging you to Google sunk cost fallacy, because that's what this feels like. Mm. It feels like a we're this far in. I'm we're gonna make it work. So let's just draw it out to all in.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Because we've burned so much. Like this is a storyline we wanted to do with the Bucks, but then we screwed that up. So now we're doing it with Mox. And it's not any good.
Yeah.
And no one's really that invested in it. End it.
Yeah.
Just end it. Give it a merciful killing. Just something, switch gears. But that's what it just feels. It feels like it's just like stretching it out for the sake of stretching it out. And like, but now, and I will say this too. They had, as we discussed just a few minutes ago, they were in the unfortunate position of following Tony Storm and Mariah May, Kenny Omega and Takeshita, and Ospreay and Fletcher. Those were the three matches right before them. That's hard to follow. And then you come in here and work a slower WWE type pace after we just saw this. This is exactly what I'm talking about when I'm saying you can tell. Your stories can be told better by the order of the matches.
Yeah, because this match actually as number one would have been great.
Would have been fine.
Yeah.
It would have been fine. And then we see what happens the rest of the card. And it's like, oh, OK, it gets
crazier.
Just goes up from instead of ending here.
Yeah.
Sending everyone home unhappy and unhappy in a way of like I said, not. Like a kayfabe unhappy.
Yeah.
But they were, but like that pin happened and people got up and left.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people got up and left. Yeah. Like it's just, and it's such a bummer because I know how good these guys are. I know what they can do, but it also to me felt a little like Well, I don't want to lose. Well, I don't want to take the pin. And Christian's like, then fuck it. I'll just I'll do it. I'll eat the pin. And then because what was the point? What was the point of the fucking contract?
Well, and that kind of brings into the conversation point there where it's like, I mean, do they bring the contract back again? I don't know.
No, because you just shit all over. This is the first time they've done that. Am I right?
Yeah, but you don't. But like it again, I just because something exists doesn't mean that it needs to work. You know, like it like just because like they made the contract.
Then why are you doing it?
Well, you can establish.
What do you mean? You
don't, I'm not saying that it is a. Because see, the thing is, WWE has always like framed it as a surefire way that it's like when you win the Money in the Bank, you're guaranteed to be the next champion. Right. That's a line that they always like to throw around. Right. So by them,
statistically speaking,
yeah. Because, you know, they control the stats and they're the ones who dictate whether or not, you know, it is successful or not. So in this particular instance, it's like the contract exists, but that doesn't mean it's a guarantee that you're going to win, you know, and I don't mind that being a thing just because it's a thing. Like, I don't mind it. I understand what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying. They made it. It should have happened. I would have loved Christian to be champion,
but
too.
Also,
but I get
think
it.
About the but think about the story.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. That's I don't disagree.
But think of the story, because Cope literally said it after they went off air and after Swerve did his thing in the tunnel at the end and all that. Yeah. After the show, he came up and he talked to Cope. And Cope even mentioned it himself. Can you imagine how poetic it would be for Christian, one of his childhood best friend, his real life childhood best friend, who he's become rivals with on totally different paths. And Christian comes in to the building where Cope won the Money in the Bank contract. And Christian becomes the ultimate opportunist and cashes it in on him.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah. It's beautiful. It just it's so well rounded on the like I just like that's good stuff.
But that also means where does it go now, right? What happens here? I look, regardless, I am still compelled in where this ends up just because a lot happened. And it was like, whoa, that's a lot to take in. I'm also trying to and like I also want to be clear. It's like I'm trying. Because I think like I spent so much of my life always being very like I look at something and I'm like, nope, I hate that. And then I kind of just like write it off immediately. And I'm trying not to do that a lot, because like my gut reaction would be that my gut reaction was, oh, I didn't like that. But I'm also trying to like look back and be like, well, for the sake of conversation, the sake of like, you know, being an adult. I not saying you guys are giving the right reaction. No. I'm trying to be like
what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I try to do the same thing too. I try to give the benefit of the doubt. I've given 6 months benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
I can only eat olives so many times before I'm just like, I fucking hate olives.
Yeah.
They're little salty buttholes and they have no place on my pizza. Oh, I don't want them there.
Olives are delicious.
Oh, seeing that's what terrible. It's like. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, voice of reason.
This is what this all breaks down to. See, one of us likes olives.
I understand that. And it's going to be a preference. And to an extent, it's going to be a preference thing. But like this, to me, this just reeks of sunk cost fallacy, putting so much into this because it's like, no, I'm going to shoehorn this in because I still think this is a story to be told. And everybody's like,
maybe not. Yeah,
it just. And you know what? It's fine, because if you're going to say that the contract and things like that don't always work, sometimes storylines don't either. And that's fine. But like you can't always turn chicken shit into chicken salad.
Yeah, that's true, man. Well, look, we got to keep tabs on this, obviously, and we will. It's going to be interesting to see how it all kind of plays out in the long run. And I'm sure we'll look back on it and be like, one way or another, right? It's either going to be, oh, that worked out, or, you know, could have been better. I have a feeling it's going to be the latter rather than the former. I think we're going to look back and be like, hey, you know, we're done. We got it over and we're moving on.
Look, the great thing about wrestling is it's 52 weeks a year.
Yeah.
Brand new. There, Mm-hmm. As a coach of mine used to say, no matter how you did tonight, you think you shit the bed, you had the worst match of your career or whatever. His thing was, well, you know what? We get There's to do it tomorrow. Again tomorrow.
Yeah.
So let's do better tomorrow. They don't have a season. They're not like a thing like, oh, we're done for 6 months, you know, next week. Well, all right. You can always course correct, and you can always, they can take all this and maybe like, wow, this was even shakier than we thought. Yeah. I thought when in the room on that day, we thought we had this great ending. Maybe not. Or maybe they felt justified. We're like, look, I love the uncertainty. I love the kind of, who knows?
Look,
everything, if the buildup to whenever it ultimately does happen, whether it's next month or it's 3 months from now, 4 months from now, All Out at the end of the summer, the right story can make that big title change when it does happen, make it real good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, because let's not forget, AEW Women's title was having a hard go at it for a while. And look at the rebound that's had, because like you said, wrestling's 52 weeks out of the year. You get another opportunity to do it again. You see what happens. It's the beauty of the thing that we love so much. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Let's continue the positive vibes and keep the celebration going and talk about our favorite segment of the week. It is, of course, the Rebook 24/7 Champion of the Week. This is, of course, the segment, because I still don't have my voice mod software yet.
Yeah.
Oh, and for some reason, the graphic's not coming down, so this is embarrassing, guys. I very much apologize.
I guess we're just going to have to wait it out.
We're just going to have to wait it out to see, because I think I pressed the graphic one too many times, and as a result of that, there you go. All right, folks, so let's go ahead and dive into this one. Our Rebook 24/7 Champion of the Week. I will go first. You guys already know, because I gotta give love to this. Last night on Monday Night Raw, I'm watching this and I see this young man right here dap up Jey Uso in the smoothest possible way you could. So shout out to this little kid right here in the pink Yeet shirt, because that is a New Yorker. That is a New Yorker through and through. All right. That is a boy. That is a cultured young man. He knows exactly what is expected of him in the moment. And also a shout out to Jey Uso, who also knows how to do a proper dap up. So, you know, overall,
How could he not?
He's the king of the Yeet for a reason. But yeah, that whole sequence was awesome. As a New Yorker who values and prides himself on a good dap up, that right there was a 10 out of 10. So congratulations, kid. You're my nomination for the week. Who's next?
I'll go. Okay. So I was wanting, you know, we're doing it on the tail end of our AEW focused episode. So I did want to do it from something. So I'm going to throw a little bit. I'm just throwing more love on the Hollywood ending. That was my highlight of the wrestling week.
Yeah.
It was just that damn good. And that's right up my alley with those two. And I'm going to give credit to RJ City for all he did to contribute to all of that. I know he was a huge creative force behind a lot of that, along with the women. But I also, on Monday Night Raw, as was watching, I got to shout out a personal friend of mine and former colleague was one of like the featured on camera, like celebrity cameo things that they go to the crowd and they're like,
oh,
hey,
yeah.
Look who's here. My buddy, Chris Diaz was featured on the show. He is a playwright.
Yeah.
He wrote the elaborate entrance of Chad Deity, which won a Pulitzer that I helped put together about pro wrestling. He's a huge wrestling fan. That was back in 2009.
Whoa. Or no.
Oh, wow.
2011, something like that. And then, but then he also just recently wrote the book, like what he wrote, like the script, the words, not the songs, for the musical Hell's Kitchen, which I believe is the, is that Alicia Keys musical or whatever?
I'm seeing it here.
Yeah, he wrote the script. He wrote the book for the musical. And and he was the playwright for this show I worked on. It premiered in Chicago. It was about pro wrestling. It's a great play and everything like that. So to see him, I knew he was going. He wrote about it on Facebook. But then I'm like, oh, shoot.
That's
He's
cool.
like one of like the featured guests. It was really cool to see.
And I like that they've been doing that, especially with like playwrights. They've been doing it with like actors and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, they're there. Have fun with it. Like freaking Ken Jeong and Leslie Jones. They were in fucking the front row. Oh my God. Leslie Jones was cracking me up, man. She was losing her mind.
She was going wild.
She was going awesome. Wild. People in the crowd were like, is this a bit? But I just think she was really into Swerve and Ricochet. That personally. Jake, what's your 24/7 champ?
Well, you just burned one of them, Leslie Jones. Because, man, I thought she was going to hop the barricade and I would have been here for it. She'd have thrown Ricochet's little ass so deep into that crowd if she had gotten her hands on him. That's what I love. I love when people just get into it like that. It was just...
I found the image of Leslie Jones losing her mind out there.
There's one where she's wiping sweat off her face with a towel.
Yeah.
Point goes back, swerve, like keeps yelling for him to get up and shit.
That must have been so distracting, great. But in the best way. Man. That was silly. Who do we want to give it to? Nominations. Never mind.
I had one more.
So sorry.
One more. Now imagine this. It's the final game of the regular season. You're going to your biggest rival's home arena, who is the number one team in all of college basketball. And you take them to overtime. And there's 2 seconds left on the clock and you dribble to the free throw line and put up a floater to kill the number one team. And knock them off on senior night in their own house. Mark Sears, you, sir, are my 24/7 champion of the week. Roll Tide, sir. Let's go kick some ass in the tourneys.
For those who don't know, it's an Alabama sports thing. Just
Alabama men's basketball.
Floater.
Yeah.
Huh?
We're not giving it to a floater.
We're not giving it to the floater.
You ruined it, Jake. You ruined it. I was literally about to stop, GB. I was like, look, guys, there's a theme amongst all our nominees.
Okay.
We all voted for fans, people who love pro wrestling coming out.
Look at that.
I was just going to give it to the fans.
Yeah, let's give it to the fans.
Moment.
Give it to the fans.
You're okay.
Willie Mark Sears is our 24/7 champion.
Oh, we're giving it to the fans. Give it to the fans, damn it.
Yes.
All right, guys.
For the people.
Oh man. Well, that's good.
Well, I was going to end with Leslie, but you two burned it, so it didn't matter.
Sorry about that, Brad. All right, guys. That's going to do it for us here this week. We thank you so much for tuning in. As always, make sure you join us on Discord. You can check us out there. You can find the links for all that in the description down below. Whether you're watching on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast goodness, we love to hear from you. We love to see some more folks joining and on our community, so you can take part in some of the polls and stuff like that. Let us know what you think of the show, all that good stuff. But that is going to do it for us here today. Make sure though you tune in this Friday for our Friday show, where we cover everything that happened in WWE with Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, and we get you ready for the new episode of SmackDown that week. So we'll see you guys then. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll catch you soon. Peace.